I think if I had to take a guess, I would say that the reason there's the swimsuit and the evening gown competition is to show your personal confidence. I think putting on a swimsuit and walking in front of an audience can show that. Mm-hmm. And then I think the evening gown portion is to serve as that same thing, but with a little more elegance and class. I think that I'm very outgoing. I'm not really afraid to approach and talk to anybody. And I noticed that a lot of the groups that I've been a part of through dance or even now with the Miss USA girls, people naturally kind of just gravitate to me and like, you know, everyone feels like I'm their best friend. One of my friends on my former cheer team, she told me that and it always sat with me. And I don't think she knows the weight that that message had on me. Kayla Bramlett, if you're watching this, you paved it, girl. But It was like all the girls that I've been looking at on Instagram and raving about and all the pretty gowns and the community service and the sashes, all of those girls, I am them now. Like, I am them.
On the note of the imposter syndrome, how would you recommend somebody stepping out of that?
I think it's important to realize that a lot of the people that we look up to also have imposter syndrome.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode, I have the pleasure of having Ashley Williams in the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So Ashley is a former NFL cheerleader and was recently crowned Miss Virginia USA 2023, making history as the first Caribbean American to claim this prestigious title, all while rocking her natural hair, y'all. So we love to see it. Welcome to the Friends of Beauty podcast, Ashley.
Hey, hi. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited. I was just telling you, I'm so excited to have you because like I was just saying, I'll tell the audience too, I'm really like opening my eyes and like just expanding my horizons to what a friend in beauty is. I feel like the beauty industry is so vast. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy that I can have these kind of conversations with different people that are considered like a friend in beauty or just in the beauty industry in general. So I'm so excited to meet you and to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited too.
Yay. So before we jump into all the fun stuff, we're going to start off with some icebreakers. I always say so the Friends and Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do.
Okay.
So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
Ooh, I'm an only child. I don't know how to swim. Really bad to admit. And I love Jamaican food. Love Jamaican food. But I can only eat my mom's. I'm so sorry. I can't do any restaurants because nothing compares.
I love that. Is your mom Jamaican?
She is.
I love that. My father is Jamaican.
So you know about the good food.
I know all about it. He's a great cook. Like, he can cook.
Mm-hmm. We're lucky.
Did you always want siblings, or you're cool with being the only child?
You know, I don't know how my life would look differently with siblings. So I feel like I'd be curious because I always say like, what would it be like for me to say, oh yeah, my sister or my brother. And I'm like, nah, I like it just me. Just a one and done.
Yeah, I have a lot of siblings. On my mom, I grew up with my older sister in the house. But then on my father's side, the Jamaican side, I have 6 brothers and 4 sisters.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like the total opposite of you.
It's the total opposite. It's ironic because my mom has 6 brothers and siblings and my dad has 7 and I have 0. So it was like this, when you're looking at the tree of things, it's like da 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 da, da 1.
It's like an upside down funnel, like a funnel.
Exactly. Just little me. So I'm like, that's so funny. Oh, 6 and 4. Wow.
Yeah. And like 30 something nieces and nephews. It's insane.
That's so fun though. That's the one thing that I'm like, I grew up in dance, so I feel like I had siblings kind of embedded in that. But I will say like that bond of having siblings and later down the line, nieces and nephews, that's exciting. But yeah, my shot.
Adopt them, girl. I'll let you borrow some.
Okay, cool.
Next question. Like, what would 11-year-old Ashley think about you right now?
That is so funny. I just hopped off another interview and I told them, I said 10, not gonna lie, but even 11 is super close. I was telling them, 10-year-old me would never believe where I am today. It's just so crazy to see how dance kind of just paved this trajectory of my life, and I became an NFL cheerleader. I didn't know that was coming. Spoiler alert, we'll get to that later in the interview. Or like even becoming Miss Virginia, I never saw this coming. I'm so blessed for the opportunities and titles that I have earned, though. So that's so crazy that you said that. Wow, 11-year-old me.
I was tapped
Yeah.
Yes, I have these random stack of cards called pod decks that have random, sometimes crazy questions. This is a what the heck and a would you rather. Which one do you want?
Ooh. What the heck? And would you rather? Would you rather?
Would you rather? I feel like that's a good one. And we're not going to do anything crazy that's going to get you banned from the pageant world or anything like that. Let's see. Okay, this is safe. This is very safe.
Okay.
Would you rather have deep dish or thin crust pizza?
Deep dish.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it.
You're going to eat pizza. You might as well just go for it.
Yeah, I need it to be like the Chicago deep dish from Giardino's. Mwah.
Specific, I love it.
That was
What do
fun.
people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
My social skills. I think that I'm very outgoing. I'm not really afraid to approach and talk to anybody. And I noticed that a lot of the groups that I've been a part of through dance or even now with the Miss USA girls, people naturally kind of just gravitate to me and everyone feels like I'm their best friend. One of my friends on my former cheer team, she told me that, and it always sat with me. And I don't think she knows the weight that that message had on me. Kayla Bramlett, if you're watching this, you paved it, girl. But she literally came up to me in the locker room day. She goes, "Ashley, you know what I love about you?" And I was like, "What, Kayla?" And she was like, "Everyone feels like you're their best friend. Everyone goes to you for advice. They go for you for this." And I was like, I'm like very emotional when I'm happy. And I was like, "Thank you." So
Yeah.
I think relatability is what makes me what I think I'm really good at, and talking to
Yeah.
people, making them feel comfortable.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have a best friend like in real life?
I do have a
Does she
best
feel some kind of way like, hold up, that's my best friend? Okay, get
friend.
your own.
Hopefully, no, she doesn't feel that way. That's so funny. Now she knows my universal personality, I guess you could say. No, I
Yeah.
love her. Her name's Nicole. I met her in college and we were on the dance team together and we just get each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And she has to share you, so. When is the last time that you did something for the first time?
April 30th, 2023.
Oh,
Was
that is
my
right.
first time competing in a pageant. Miss Virginia USA was my very first pageant, and I was going into it as a rookie. A lot of people start pageants as early as like 3 years old, or they do it in their teenage years. And I started as at a whopping like 23. And I was like, I don't really know what this is about, but it looks fun. And I wanted to transition from my NFL cheerleader career that looked similar in terms of being a community ambassador and being a spokesperson and everything. And then pageantry kind of found its way to me. We'll probably get into that later too. And I was like, okay, cool, let's do this. And
Yeah.
it was my first time, April 30th, 2023. My first time, and it was successful, thankfully.
That is fantastic. That is amazing. I can only imagine. We'll get into that, but I can only imagine like how you felt in that moment. That's crazy. Your first time and you won.
It was
I love
crazy. It's so funny because, and I have to send you a photo of this now. Everyone has these really cute crowning moment photos. Like you have girls who are like, and they're like, and there's like
it.
the classic, like they like point up to thank God. And my photo is this. Because I was literally in such shock. So, and the way that they announce pageantry winners is they call off the names of the runner-ups first. So they'll say
Right.
like, and your first runner-up is Jane Doe, and then it's like the person whose name didn't get called won. So when I heard the girl's name, I was like, hold on.
Like, wait a minute.
I was like, did he just say that right? And it's so funny because that picture is so me. I posted it. My friends were like, this is the most Ashley reaction I've ever seen ever. And I was like, I know that's right. I'm authentic. But yeah, I had zero expectations, and I think that's what made the experience so enjoyable. And I think that's why I had the favorable outcome, because I think we have to live in a no expectations kind of, way of life, so that
Yeah.
everything is just seen as a, you know, as a blessing. So
yeah, I say everything is a hypothesis. Like you're doing a science experiment, like just test it out, see what happens, and enjoy the process, enjoy the journey.
I completely agree. Enjoy the process. And sometimes it can get a little bit impatient to enjoy and trust the process. I had that happen last year while I was training, and I was like, I just want April 30th to be here already so I know what's going on. I can know how to plan my summer accordingly. I can know how to do anything. Like, can we just get through this? And you know, you can get a little impatient trusting it or waiting for the yes. Cause I do know that some of the girls who were within my class, they had been competing for several years. I know girls who won on their seventh or eighth attempt. And I think they're a true testament to trust the process and know that your time will come. And I give it to them for their persistency and their just elasticity, I guess you could say. That snapback, it's a lot. Pageants, they're a lot mentally, they're a lot financially, the entry fees, the dresses, the wardrobe, the hair, the makeup, everything, the coaching hours, it's a lot. So for those girls who come back year after year, it speaks volumes on their character. So,
hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast. And plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right, don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you weren't doing the if you weren't in the pageant world right now, like what else could you see yourself doing?
That's a really fun question. I'm so glad that I did this with myself, because I feel like I've learned so much about myself, and I've networked the opportunities that I want to do when I give up my crown on June 23rd of this year. Here emoji. But I don't know. I feel like at one point I did see myself doing something in the broadcast journalism field. So when I was in the NFL cheer team, we had a program where we would do, it was called Dolphins Daily, and there would be announcements about the players or anything that was happening in training camp or any, you know, new additions to the team and stuff like that. It was an in-house video team. And sometimes I would go and I would read off, and I'd be like, today at the rehearsal, the dancer and me, today at practice, coach, you know, Flores at the time, he did this and then that. And this weekend we have your Dolphins going on a away game against the Packers, and just that very, like, you know, it was this very fun and special opportunity. And that's where I realized, I was like, okay, I know how to read, I know how to speak, and I like being in front of a camera. So those are like the three main ingredients to broadcast journalism. So I wouldn't be surprised if I went into something in that role after this. So I think that's what I would be doing.
For sure. Okay. I love that. I want to go back to this winning moment. When you were what exactly was going through your mind at that point? Any imposter syndrome or anything like that, or just pure shock?
I definitely had imposter syndrome, because I actually accepted defeat backstage. So the preliminary competition takes place in the first half of the day. We had like a 4-hour break, and then we had to get ready for finals. Your scores and prelims are what qualifies you for finals. And after I did prelims, I was like, not that I didn't think I did my best, but I was like, I don't know if this is going to be a fit for me. I was walking around backstage. I saw the girls who had been competing in pageants for years. I saw the girls who were former title holders within the Virginia system in their teenage years. And I didn't see a lot of girls who looked like me. And I was like, I don't think this is going to work out. I was like, I'm just going to go on stage, rock out, have some more fun. My family had flown in. I was like, I'm just going to go to dinner with my family, have fun with them, and call it a night. And then went out for the final competition. I still gave it my all because that's the kind of person I am. And then, like I said, we're at that top six. They're calling off the names one by one by one by one. And then it's me and the first runner up holding hands at the front. And he was like, okay, the next name I'm about to call is the first runner up. And I was like, all right, like, let's do this. Say, go ahead, say my name. Like, whatever, here we go. And then he said the other girl's name. And then that's when that one singular moment, it just meant so much to me because all of the patience that I had to keep reinstalling in myself and telling myself to just wait it out. Everything just came to like this big, it was like this puzzle piece is just getting put right in. And it was like, okay, girl, yeah. You waited, you took your turn, you waited, and here you are. Here's the last puzzle piece and you won. And I was like, no way that he just said that. Like, it was so crazy. I mean, I'm telling you that expression, it could not have been more authentic to the way that I felt. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like all the girls that I have been watching for, because I'm very, before I get into anything, I do a lot of research. I like to be very well informed before I affiliate myself with any organization or anything. Uh-huh. And it was like all the girls that I've been looking at on Instagram and raving about and all the pretty gowns and the community service and the sashes, all of those girls, I am them now. Like I am them. Right. So I definitely had imposter syndrome for, I want to say like about a week, because I thought it was like, you know, it caught me off guard, but then I was like, okay, not too much of that. Like step into your role. Like, you know, right. What you know what you worked hard for and you know that you deserved it. So, yeah, that's my spiel.
I love that. Just on the note of the imposter syndrome, how would you recommend somebody stepping out of that? Because I had someone ask me that, maybe like last week I had a call with my membership community. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls asked me, like, do you deal with imposter syndrome? And I was like, girl, yes, of course. But I gave her like my reasons, or, you know, how I'm able to, you know, nip it in the bud and just, you know, move on. But how would you suggest someone like just cut it out? You that girl. Let's keep it moving.
I think it's important to realize that a lot of the people that we look up to also have imposter syndrome. And you, like, I mean, whoever your idol is, like, for instance, mine is Zendaya. And I'm sure she has moments where she sits there and she's like, how is this me? And how is this my life? And I think that you have to realize that no matter who you are and what role you're in, there's somebody looking at you who wishes they had some of the things that you had, or they're inspired by you, I should say. Yeah. Cause I do believe comparison is a thief of joy, but they're inspired by you. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just have to remind yourself, like, don't be an imposter. Just own up to it. Like, of course, in the beginning, you know, there's a little bit of humbleness that comes to it and you're like, oh no, it's just me. But mm-hmm. No, like step into that role, know that it was given to you for a reason, whatever that is. And just know that, embody it and give people the same, basically the same essence that you gave somebody in the role that you wanted to have and the way that they inspired you. This is your turn to do the same for the person after you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's not a lot of room for imposter syndrome, because if we're all living in it at the same time. So just fake it till you make it, in a way. I don't know where this is going.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. I was like, I told her basically, the more that you do whatever you are feeling like you're an imposter to, like, the less you feel like that.
I agree.
That's so you still have to do it. There's no getting around it. If you don't want to feel like that, you just have to push yourself and do it.
I agree. That's a good point. You'll never get used to it if that's the case. You got to step into it.
Absolutely. So how has your life changed since winning the pageant last year?
The opportunities that I have been presented. I mean, just last week or 2 weeks ago, I was at the Washington Wizards game. Cause being a Northern Virginian, of course, I don't have my own sports team. So I gotta.
Yeah. You gotta share with okay. You can share.
Got to play with Team DC. And that was so much fun. I mean, I got to be the co-captain of the game. So I was on the court with the refs and the team captains of the Wizards. And then the opponent team for this game was the Charlotte Hornets. And I had the meeting with like the team captains and the refs. And like, I'm like, I look at the video back and I'm like, who am I? Like, and
it's so funny. I mean, having those same thoughts sometimes.
You know what I mean? Like, I guess it kind of goes back to the imposter syndrome thing, but I really do. I'm so blessed and grateful for the opportunities that I get. I have to kind of pinch myself in some of these events. It was so funny because the ref, you know, they have to do their handshake, and the ref was like, and our co-captain, do you have anything to say to these two? And I go, good luck. It was so funny. But no, my life has changed. Just the caliber of experiences that I have been And opportunities that I have been given have just been so unimaginable. Not only through Miss Virginia, but even during my time as an NFL cheerleader, just unimaginable things. And I only see it going up from here. And it my life is forever changed, really. And also the personal growth that comes from it, which is in part reason why I even wanted to enter the pageant in the first place. Mm-hmm. I think the personal development skills that you grow through pageantry, you really do surprise yourself. You really end up surprising yourself.
For sure. So why pageants? How did you get into this? Like, why pageants and how?
Yeah. So back in 2021, I have a rather untraditional story to how I started. I started off as a judge before I became a contestant. Nice. But I really utilized that role and what I learned in it and what I saw other contestants do and how I wanted to implement that into my training and my journey. So back in 2021, I was wrapping up my time as an NFL cheerleader. And I got a call from a friend who recommended me to be on a judges panel for not the Miss USA / Miss Universe system that I'm a part of, but a different one. One of my friends was like, hey, we're having our national competition in Orlando, Florida, and wanted to see if you'd be interested in judging. And I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, you know, everyone has seen Miss Universe or Miss USA or Miss America on TV. And you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, that looks cool. So then we're like, they offered me that. And I was like, that's really nice. Like, you know, someone cares about my opinion so much so that they're putting it on a piece of paper.
Hey, friend, I really need your help with something. I'm planning to host my very first travel retreat in 2024. And this is why. I live in DC, but I love to travel. My last few trips, I've gone to Mexico, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, but I'm starting to get that urge to hop on a plane again very soon. And I've been thinking about what I want for myself and what I want for Friends in Beauty in 2024. And that is to make a bigger impact and build deeper connections while doing the things that we love. Like, what better way to do that than on a bomb trip, making new memories together, learning from one another, experiencing new cultures, and laying out in the sun? What I really want is for us to get into the habit of resting, recalibrating, and celebrating ourselves more. We work so hard on a day-to-day basis, and I want this experience to be an all play, no work type of vibe. You feel me? I'm ready to have some fun and I want you to come along with me. Instead of catching all the highlights on my Instagram and YouTube, all you have to do is fill out a brief 2-minute survey to let me know where we should go, what your budget is, and the best time of year and what you want to do. I'll leave the link here and below in the show notes. I am super duper excited to collaborate with you on this. Let's make this retreat happen and get your passports ready because we're getting up out of here.
I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And I did that. And then that pageant, the age ranges were from 4 to 24. And I mean, even just 10-year-olds coming on stage and talking about their service initiatives and their volunteerism and Bailey's bows that she makes for dogs to donate the funds to their local vet. You know what I mean? Just fantastic work in the community. And I was like, wait a minute now. This is perfect. I was like, this is the perfect transition for me because I want to keep the volunteerism, the community ambassador work and everything alive. And then of course, like the beautiful gowns and the glitz and glam part is fun too. So I was like, I think this is the perfect transition. Now, given that there are many systems, I did extensive research onto which one I felt like aligned with me and my morals. And certain systems have different values. For example, the Miss America system, they're a very scholastic based system. So if I was someone who wanted to go back to school, I would compete in that system because they give you a scholarship for school. The Miss USA system has a little bit different of a path. They have, instead of like a scholarship based funds, their prize package is the funds itself, a modeling contract and stuff like that. So yeah, there's something for everyone, for different people. Some people do both, which is fantastic too. Mm-hmm. But I felt like at the time, the Miss USA / Universe system was what aligned with me. And then I, at the time I was living in Virginia. So that's where I was eligible and I went for it.
Nice. I love that. I love that. Cause I was definitely going to ask you about the difference between like Miss USA, Miss America, only because I watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta and Kenya made such a big deal about, you know, which one she was. I can't even remember. I think she was Miss America. I don't even know. But she made such a big deal of the girl calling her the opposite. I got to know what the difference is, but that makes a lot of sense.
I want to look into that. I didn't know that. It's Kenya from Housewives.
Oh yeah, Kenya Moore.
Okay, I'm going to look into that because I feel like I want to see how she explains it. But Yeah, again, it's kind of just whatever system you feel like their values kind of align with you and your own set of morals and everything. But also, one of the biggest defining factors is Miss America stops at the national level. So the furthest that you can be in their system is Miss America. And the Miss USA slash Miss Universe system, you go to Miss Universe.
Got
But
you.
you'll compete against the, Miss Universe Croatia and Miss Universe Bahamas and everything like that. So you do get to kind of further yourself there. That's one of
Nice.
the big
So, are
differences.
you going to continue to compete, or have you continued to compete since winning last year?
So in April, I won Miss Virginia. In September, I competed at Miss USA. I did place top 20, but I didn't further after that round.
Got you.
But in terms of like competing in another pageant in the future, I don't know yet. I had a lot of fun because I did start so late. I do feel like I feel like I'm still like craving more of it. So I don't know. I need to kind of like I said, I'll give up the Virginia title in June, and I feel like it's gonna take like a week or two for me to miss it. So I don't know. I may think about another one. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll keep you
Do they have
posted.
an age cap? Do they have an age?
No, so the Miss Universe organization just announced or instilled the new eligibility requirements this past year, that there's no age cap anymore. The minimum age is to be 19, but there's no, you don't have to be anything. You can be married woman, divorced woman, mother, pregnant,
Wow.
65. Yeah, so it creates opportunities for all women.
That's amazing. I'll be curious to see like how that's going to look or how they're going to implement those things. Yeah.
I know, me too, because I do think about the fact that a lot of the prize packages are tailored to one individual. So immediately I'm questioning when there's an occasion like crowning a married woman with a family, does her entire family then benefit from the package? One of the things that Miss USA gets an apartment in LA or Miami, Miss Universe gets an apartment in New York. And it's like, okay, well, when people with families and such win, will they all be accommodated for? I'm curious to see that too. It's really, yeah.
Okay. I love that. I really want to talk about you just challenging the societal norms, especially when it comes to you rocking your natural hair, for the pageant and everything like that. What was that an intentional decision that you made, or do you always wear your hair natural? You're like, I'm coming as I am. Like, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I feel like black woman hair is a journey. I don't know if you can relate, but it's something everybody wants to talk about it. Like, I mean, you have like decorated Olympians like Gabby Douglas flipping over things, and people are still like, her hair looked like this. Like, it's literally so appalling.
Right.
But since I was a kid, I wore my hair natural, but at the time I was natural with a perm, so it was straight. And then in college, I was on my college dance team and I did my hair very frequently for football and basketball games. So I ended up kind of burning out my hair. And then by the time I danced in the NFL, I just wanted a different look and I wanted it to be more fuller. So I went for, I at first I started off with like a sew-in and then I got a wig and I did all the things. And then in 2020, when everything was shut down and we had nobody to do our hair, I had to default, I guess, to my natural hair. And I was like, oh, this won't work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of maintenance. I don't like the way it looks. Like, get me back in somebody's chair so he stands up and call it a day. A few months went by and I started to realize how much A, my friends and family were like, I got a lot of compliments on like, oh my God, your hair looks amazing like that. And then B, I started to kind of just look in the mirror and embrace it. And I was like, wait, why am I trying to hide my hair again? Like, it's actually really beautiful. Like the curl pattern and like, I don't know. I just feel like there's such a story with natural hair. No shade to any other methods of hair. Do what you got to do to make you feel comfortable and what makes you feel confident and beautiful. Love a
Absolutely.
beautiful sew-in, love whatever, you know what I mean? But yeah, I did do it as like a power move for myself. So then I did my third and final year in the Dolphins with my natural hair. And then I tried it for another team with that same hair. And then going into Miss Virginia, I did it as well because I was like, this is me. And I thought it was quite funny that some of my friends and family were like, when I told them I was competing for Miss Virginia and then eventually Miss USA, they were like, oh, are you going to wear your hair like that? And I'm like, yeah, like, why would
Yeah.
I? You know what I mean? I do know it comes from a place of curiosity more so, but it's just ironic because I don't see people asking other people what,
Yeah.
like, oh, are you going to wear your hair like that? Like, are you going to
Right.
wear the hair that grows out of your head?
Right.
And I'll leave that at that. But no, it definitely, It is very empowering. I feel like I've gotten so many people send me messages about how I inspire them to wear their natural hair in their field. I work for an energy drink brand as a model, and I've worn my natural curls, I've worn braids, and I've had girls reach out to me and say, "You've inspired me to wear my hair because you are doing it." And I was like, "Oh, wow." Like sometimes you don't realize, you know, the way that you're kind of paving for others and inspiring. Yeah. So it's been nice to get that reassurance.
Absolutely. Now, behind the scenes, as far as the pageant world goes, do they have any, I guess not, I don't want to say restrictions, but do they kind of want you to follow a certain mold for how you represent yourself?
No. And that's one of the biggest things that I had trouble with in the beginning, because I thought there was a mold, which is hence to my earlier answer about me accepting defeat backstage when I didn't even need to. I thought there was a certain mold, especially like Virginia and the previous winners. There hadn't been a person that looked like me ever. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I don't fit within the mold here, and it's not going to be me. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, the mold kind of thing has kind of gone out the window. You know, we've evolved as a society. Everyone has different definitions of beauty. And yeah, there's no restrictions. But I will say, it can get hard when it comes to, even as a model, the resources for people who don't look like the norm. Like I'll go on set sometimes and, like, you know, the call sheet would say, come to hair and makeup tomorrow at 9 a.m. and come with clean, dry hair. If I sat in somebody's hair, makeup, or the wrong person's hair chair with my clean, dry hair,
it would be a hot mess.
Exactly. So it does suck that, you know, sometimes there's a lack of awareness and resources and the people who are in charge of these teams. And I would say that that's one of the hardest things. But if you kind of just create your own and do what you got to do on your own, then I think that makes for a better outcome. But yeah, for sure. there's no formal restrictions, but it's kind of like up to your comfort level. Like I already know what I'm getting myself into, and I don't want to look funny, so I take care of my stuff on the side, you know. So
yeah, and I know one of the things you said before is like you can't go where you don't see yourself. So I can only imagine how many doors this is going to open for like other girls that look like you, or just other people who want to who aspire to be in pageants, but maybe felt like they had to look a certain way or represent themselves a certain way. I can only imagine, like, once they see you, it's like, oh yeah, it's like, Ashley did it, I can do it too, for sure.
I agree. And I think it's especially special because you have to think about the demographics and the state that you're looking to represent. And like I said about the former title holders in Virginia, they all looked the same for quite a few years. So I'm excited, and I'm happy that I serve as that token of, you know, change for some people. And that you never, some people may have come out of retirement. They may have been like, I'll never win Virginia. And then they saw me and they're like, oh, time to put my heels back on and get back to practicing. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what, like, my intention is to inspire others to do. So.
Yeah, for sure. Now you touched on it a little bit earlier with the preparation and the coaching and everything. I would love to know what that looks like, but you had like a little bit of insider, I guess, being a judge before, you kind of, you know, you had a little bit of an idea, but what did that look like for you? How long did you prepare? What does preparation look like? Like, give us the tea.
Yeah. So full transparency, I realized that I was a lot more ready for this role than I thought. I came into it with a very, like, you know, a humble approach. Like, I'm not familiar with this world, and I want to, you know, step back and look into it. But then I ended up coming to terms with the fact that I was already building this skill set through what I was learning and experiencing during my time as an NFL cheerleader, and kind of just trusting in myself and knowing that I, you know, I'm destined for greatness, I guess you could say. So once you kind of embrace that and everything in yourself, that I think that just changes the game of preparation. Preparation can look like a lot. So specifically within the Miss USA system, the three things that they judge are the evening gown competition, the swimsuit, and the interview. So I was doing a lot of interview preparation with the coach. I was doing platform development, and I was doing walking lessons, trying to hit all the, you know, check off the necessary boxes. Mm-hmm. I would say that I practiced about, I met with my coach virtually because she lives across the country, for about an hour a day, maybe three times a week. And I felt like that was enough. I also didn't want it to be something that overconsumed my life, because I know that sometimes when things are a little too much, they sometimes things personally don't work out in my favor if I want it too bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not, yeah. And I'm not saying that in a way of, you know, pageants take hard work and determination and practice, but there's just like a certain level of things that everybody should adjust for their schedule, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's what the prep looked like for me. We definitely, after winning Virginia, we definitely went like times three to compete for Miss USA. Of course, that's just a bigger caliber because now it's the 51, you know, most elite or selected by the judges that day, most elite representing the country. Now we're all competing against each other. So we're all good and we're looking for the great. And then it's like, now we're all great and we're looking for the outstanding. So mm-hmm. you definitely had to up your prep as you move up in competition phase. But yeah, that's kind of what my practice and stuff look like. And then specifically and physically, feel like because I was, I am a dancer, I have very good body awareness and kind of rhythm, which mm-hmm. easily translated for me in terms of the walking. Like once I have like a good rhythm and I, or even if I'm playing a song in my head, like I felt like I could, you know, body chemistry wise, I could walk and, you know, do a little stretch.
I love that you mentioned the swimsuit competition, and I know I'm not the only person that wonders this. Anytime I love watching pageants and stuff, but I always wonder, like, what is the purpose of seeing somebody in a swimsuit? Like, what does that have to do with the bigger picture of winning the pageant?
That's a good question. I think if I had to take a guess, I would say that the reason there's the swimsuit and the evening gown competition is to show your personal confidence. I feel like people have gotten to a place where it's kind of this weird taboo thing to there's lots of talk of like certain organizations and things kind of over, I don't want to say the word over, you know what I mean?
I know like, what you mean.
Yeah. Revealing as a woman, but there's something about working hard, being healthy and maintaining a healthy lifestyle and having it show in your physique that should be the opposite of frowned upon. And I think putting on a swimsuit and walking in front of an audience can show that. Mm-hmm. And then I think the evening gown portion is to serve as that same thing, but with a little more elegance and class than the fierceness and sass that may come out in, you know, swimsuit.
Yeah.
So eventually it was in the past that the teen contestants also competed in swimsuit, but they've since then modified that from swimsuit to activewear, which I think is so much more fitting. And I think is really appropriate for that age group
because
the teen contestants are from 14 to 18 years old. So it's beyond me that there was even a swimsuit competition at once. But anyway, for those of us who are adults, I think it's very fitting.
Yeah, I like that. That totally resonated. I totally understand that. But since you are a model as well, you model as well. Someone told me before, because I talk to all types of people, a model told me before that you shouldn't get into modeling to build your confidence. Like, it's quite the opposite. It'll do quite the opposite to you. Do you feel the same about pageants, or do you feel like if you are struggling with confidence a bit, like pageants can help to boost your confidence and self-esteem?
100% pageants are a confidence booster. I have seen girls, even girls that I judged at that same competition that I was referring to in 2021, who came back for the 2022 competition, I've seen them improve significantly in the way that they speak publicly, they speak privately with the judges, one-on-one interview, their stage presence, everything. I've seen fellow contestants of mine in the Miss Virginia USA competition, contestants that I met in February at the very first workshop to pageant weekend in April. I've seen girls just come out of their shell and just light up. So I understand what that the other person was trying to say, or I understand their point about modeling and how it's like the opposite of a confidence booster. But I think that's what makes pageants so unique and fantastic, because it's like you're a model, but you have these other personal development skills that you're, you know, acquiring on the same boat. So it definitely is a confidence booster. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of parents actually put their kids into it because they know the confidence that it can build. So I think pageants are so awesome. Like, it's so funny that I started so late, but I'm like super, I'm an advocate for it now. I'm like, everybody deserves to learn pageant training, because they're just so, the skills that you learn are just so valuable for everything else in life. And I feel like a lot of people would be very impressed with pageant girls and the way that they represent themselves compared to non-pageant girls, I guess you can say, just for example purposes. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Okay. I'm like, I remember watching like Toddlers and Tiaras growing up. And then sometime, well, for like the last 3 years, there's a pageant here called the Miss HBCU Teen Pageant. Cool. It's based out of here, but they have girls from all over the country that compete. So for the last 3 years, I've been teaching their makeup course. Nice. I do it like virtually. So I give them like some tips for if they want to do their makeup, because all of them are going to college. So I'm like, girl, let's give you some tips for if you want to do makeup for yourself, or, you know, if you want to do makeup for your friends when you get to college. That's what I was going to ask you. What do you feel like? What are the ways that you feel like you have grown by participating in the pageant? Things that you didn't notice with yourself before.
It's funny that you say that about Miss HBCU Teen, and that's really interesting because I wish I started pageants when I was a teen. I feel like I'm happy, and I know everything is really intentional with timing. But I feel like if you start to acquire those skills as early as your teenage years, I mean, you are already so beyond some of the people in your age group.
Yeah.
So that's exciting that
adults.
Yeah. You know, so that's really exciting that the contestants of Miss HBCU Teen have that opportunity for them. But yeah, I think that, I forgot what the question was.
Yeah. What are the ways you've seen yourself grown?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Grow since you've been in the pageant world.
Yeah. I think that I've gotten better in terms of, communication skills, my public speaking. I've hosted a few galas and events, and now you can't take the microphone away from me all of a sudden. And just like the work that I do in the community. I mean, I feel like I said, I was so ready for this role before I even got the crown. And that's why I was so okay with if I didn't win the weekend. If I left the weekend without the crown, I knew that it was so much more than that too, just because I know that with or without the crown or the title, like I know how I feel about people and community and everything. And I would have been the same me with or without the title. So, but I have seen myself grow. And even the way that I do these like interviews and like, just things that I catch myself doing in public, I'm like, oh, that's, I don't know. I feel like the 11-year-old me would be like, who knew that you were going to grow into this woman? So,
yeah, I love that. I love it. It's really about the journey. I don't even recognize myself sometimes just from the stuff that I'm doing in the beauty industry from when I first started. It's been 11 years. And when I look back at it, I'm like, girl, you've done like a complete, you have changed so much.
Yeah, change is so beautiful. It's so nice to get out of your comfort zone and grow into something else. It's so exciting. 11 years. Wow.
Go you. Yeah, that's insane. Now, I was like stalking your Instagram page and like looking at your pageant day and just everything. You looked absolutely like, you look so good. Like the glam, everything. Like you have to like shout out and tell us like who your glam team was for pageant day, even for the one that you just did, the Miss USA.
Yes. Okay. So here in the DMV, I got my makeup done by Jessica Walker of MAB Academy. She did a fantastic job. I wanted a very natural glam for stage. And she definitely did that. And then for Miss USA, I worked with Olivia Rose Beauty. She's a Las Vegas, Nevada based makeup artist. And I definitely wanted a more glamorous look for that because it was going to be on national television. Mm-hmm. She definitely gave me, I mean, my makeup was flawless. I looked at my absolute prime, and I owe it all to my beauty team, from my spray tan to my hair to Olivia and the makeup team to my stylist, my wardrobe team, my tailor. Everything would not have been possible without my team, and they are so fantastic, and I'm so grateful for them. Even the woman who, like, my dentist made my smile so radiant. I mean, just I have endless thank yous to give them.
I love that. It takes a village.
It does take a village. That's so important to also say, that whatever trajectory you want to go for in life, like, don't think that you have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, doing things alone is so hard and boring. Like, you want to have people in your corner to support you and talk to about and talk about it with and everything. So yeah, it does take a village.
For sure. Now, are there any do's or don'ts when it comes to pageant glam? Some things that you do want to do or you want to stay away from as far as makeup and hair?
I don't think there's a lot of do's and don'ts because I don't think there's a lot of in pageantry because I don't think there's a lot of do's and don'ts in makeup. I think makeup is so specific to the individual and what makes them feel beautiful and confident. I know what I like to look like on pageant day and everything. But no, I don't think there's anything. And I know that there's been, people can be very opinionated online. And I know that even at USA, I got so many comments like, you should have worn your hair like this, or you should have worn this dress instead, or you should have worn this. And I'm like, thank you for sharing your opinion, but I wore what I wanted to and what I felt confident in. So I think that's the do's and don'ts, if you will.
Yeah, show up as you are. Because I can imagine, I haven't watched a pageant, like a national one, in a long time, but I couldn't imagine that just from being a makeup artist, I know that demographically people do their makeup different in, you know, different areas, even Atlanta, New York, LA, the makeup aesthetic is totally different.
That's a good point. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, because depending on the state that you compete in and how the directors set it up, you have the ability to hire any makeup artist you want, even if that means you want to fly somebody in for your favorite look or something. So I'm glad that I was able to find somebody at a local level. And then I went to Miss USA, had somebody else come in. So that was really nice.
Yeah, for sure. Now, are you from Virginia?
Not originally. I was born and raised in Davie, Florida, which is like Broward County. So maybe Fort Lauderdale is a little bit more known than Davie. Mm-hmm. And then 2022, I moved to Northern Virginia. I got a job opportunity. I was recently graduated and I wanted to kind of just explore the corporate world and explore a new city. And I knew that I wanted to live in a major city like the DC, Northern Virginia area, or Dallas, or LA, or New York, or something. And I was like, okay, I'll start here.
Okay.
So I moved to Virginia in summer of 2022.
Nice. How has it been treating you?
It's been great. I feel like it was the perfect little move for me to do. It was close enough to home that the flight, you know, going as opposed to going straight to California or something, the flight's not very bad. I'm also next to a lot of my family members who live next door, kind of in New York. And yeah, it's been great. It's definitely a demographic change in Miami versus Reston, Virginia. You know, it's very different. But in a very relaxing way, if that makes sense. I felt like when I lived in Miami, I was very much like, you had to have a certain look and you had to have a certain vibe and everything. And it became exhausting and overwhelming at some point. But some people love living in Miami, which is great. But I just personally had outgrown it after 20 something years. And Virginia is this perfect, just family in the way that family friendly, like families live out here. Not that I have a family, but you know, it's just cozy. It's just cozy and it's chilling. I just feel like I'm just tucked in here. I have my little one bedroom apartment and I'm just chilling. I don't feel like I have to like look a certain way or do a certain thing. And yeah, that's how it's been so far. And I love being next to DC is so convenient, but being able to come to the peacefulness of Northern VA is like,
because I'm in DC, so I don't even know if they can hear, probably not, but I can hear sirens and stuff. Like as we're talking, it's like always busy and noisy, but you get to tuck away and go back to the quiet and come back into the city when you need to.
Exactly. And that's kind of the same thing I did in Miami when I lived in Davie, but I went to Miami for the shenanigans and then I went to tuck back into, you know, into the coziness. That's the perfect way to put it.
Yeah, I'd be threatening to move to Florida myself for the weather. I'm like, okay, I've had all four seasons all my life. I think I'm good. You know, I need somewhere warm year round.
So we had the same opposite, the exact opposite train of thought. Cause I was like, I'm tired of one season and I would like the four. And now that I've experienced fall, it's no turning back. I love fall. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love the fall outfits. I love the way it's just the cozy, like right before it gets like unbearingly cold winter. Like it's just such a cozy, kidsy little, like, I don't know. I love fall, but I wish you the best in Florida.
It's just a thought. It's either Florida or somewhere overseas. I just need to be with the sun.
Yes. It's like an itch, not even just the sun, but just to get out somewhere. There's this whole big world to explore. And I would feel so silly if I stayed in one place the whole time, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. So when you were growing up, did you always was the thought to be a dancer? Like this, is that the career that you were looking for growing up?
I became a dancer when I was 8 years old because I saw one of my classmates, Kaylee Truitt, perform a dance solo in our second grade talent show. And I went home and I begged my parents to put me in dance. I was like, guys, you should have seen Kaylee solo today. It was so cute. Like, please send me to dance. Send me to Stella's Dancer Studio in Cooper City. Like, I have to go. And they were like, we'll see about it. So I went to like the first little interest meeting and they got the price sheet and they were like, oh, you're going to dance. And then I begged them enough to at least enroll me into summer camp at first. And then summer camp became recreational and then recreational became competition. I didn't know dance was going to pan out the rest of my life. Cause if I never danced, I would have never became an NFL cheerleader and learned the things that I did and had the experiences that I did, which would have never then put me into the role I am within the Miss USA system. So just the smallest of moves have just turned into the biggest of adventures. And it's so cool. I'm curious to what my life would have looked like if I didn't get into dance, if I did soccer, like who would I be right now?
Right. You never know. Sometimes it still leads you right to the same.
Yeah. Moment. Yeah. Sometimes. I agree. Cause whatever higher power you believe in, where he's going to put you where you need to be, where he, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah. How'd you get into the NFL? That's a big deal. Like, I don't want anybody to like sleep on that. We're talking about like the NFL. Like, how did you get into being an NFL cheerleader?
Yeah. So I was on my university's dance team for 2 years. And then I went to a prep clinic for, the Miami Dolphins cheerleaders, and they do a lot of outreach to college dance teams because they're very familiar with the sideline style of dance. So I went to a clinic in North Miami and I met, the girl who ended up becoming my captain when my rookie year, which is so funny. Her name is Jess. And I met her and, you know, she taught the little dance and she taught us the kick line. And she was like, you are such a good fit for this. Like, you must come to auditions. And I was like, I don't know. I'm still a full-time student. I have 2 more years left. Maybe I should just do my dance team for two more years. And she was like, I don't know. I'm telling you, like, I think you'd be a really good fit here. So I thought about it. I did some research on the Dolphins and I saw that a lot of the things that they do, and I was really inspired by it. And especially the military tours with going overseas. That was something I was huge about. And then after making the team, I ended up going on two and it was incredible. But yeah, I was like, I don't know. And then I ended up going, I was like, okay, show up to the audition and let your, you know, let the outcome serve as your answer. Cause mm-hmm. I'm very, if I can't come up with an answer. Yeah. I'm like, just let the, you know, let the situation show your answer. So I went to the audition. There was almost 500 girls. I was literally like number 480 something, was in the last group of 20. And I tried out and I made it on my first year. And I was like, okay, so I was supposed to be here because it wouldn't have worked out if I wasn't supposed to, of course. Mm-hmm. So dance just became this thing that just, it really paved the way. But yeah, NFL, I would have never guessed when I was younger that I was going to become an NFL cheerleader. But it ended up being very perfect for me. I love dancing and I love the community work that comes with it. So I combined the two and boom.
Yes, it's really just a interesting thing that happens when you just continue to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Just taking it one day at a time and just following like divine guidance, really.
I
like
couldn't
just leaning into it. I love how you said, like, let the outcome be your answer. I love that because mm-hmm. at least you tried. At least you can't go back and say, well, I don't know if I would have ever made it because at least you tried. So how long did you stay on the team?
I did it for 3 seasons from 2018 to 2021.
Okay.
But I used that same mindset of like, let the outcome be your answer for Miss Virginia. Cause it's like, I mean, if you don't know, like go see and let, you know, let it, if it worked out, it worked out because it was supposed to. But yeah, 2018 to 2021, my first 2 seasons were the standard format, you know, we're on the sidelines and everything. My last season was 2021 with COVID so that we had to kind of, we had to modify everything. We split up into 3 groups. We could only rehearse in those 3 groups of 7, one at a time. Like we had rehearsal blocks. So like the group A would be in the studio for an hour, then they would leave and then the cleaning team would come in and, you know, clean everything down. And then group B could come in and so on and so forth. And then instead of being on the sidelines, because the NFL eliminated all the cheerleaders throughout the league, we had to do a video presentation, which ended up being a really cool thing too. So it's kind of funny because it's kind of like I had 2 separate experiences on the Dolphins. It's like I had this first one and then I had like the COVID one, which was interesting. And it became a new way to, these video concepts are really cool because our coach liked to do, it's actually funny enough, she just announced her retirement today, our coach. Yeah, she did 6 years. So she started the same year that the class, rookie class of 2018 started, and now she's moving on to a new journey. But yeah, our coach, she liked to do themes at every game, and she'd like to keep them kind of relating to, in September, which is Spanish Heritage Month, we would do like a Latin dance and so on and so forth. So that became really fun to explore, because she would have a theme for the video and the routine. The video team with the Dolphins is incredible. And they just got so innovative and creative with some of our videos. We went to different locations throughout Miami. For Hispanic Heritage Month, we went to Little Havana, Cuba, and we filmed at like a little dance spot, and like just really authentic. And it just became a different way to do cheer, but a really cool one that I feel like would be in like a history book or something.
Yeah, COVID was definitely stretching people's creativity.
It definitely was, in the best way possible. Like, and then we went to the Versace Mansion and we did a hip hop dance, and they were showing like the cool, like, you know, edgy South Beach kind of, like, every concept was just really cool. And it became this beautiful way to embrace what was going on and what the, you know, world was dealing with at the time in a safe way. We always had to test and, you know, make sure that we were doing everything within the safety standards.
Yeah, for sure. So now, with everything that's going on, oh my God, yeah, you're about to give up your crown. Oh my God. So, okay, what does that even look like? Before I even ask what I was about to ask, what is giving up your crown? Do you get to keep a crown at some, like, or like, how do, oh my God, I have so many questions. So let me slow down. Do you actually have to give up the crown that you won, or does the girl get a new crown and you keep the one that you got?
So the phrase give up your crown is an expression. You don't physically have to. Yeah, it's not literal, thankfully. It's figurative in the sense that there is a new crown and sash ordered for the new title holder. It depends on the state that you compete in, but just for like, you know, what you call it, I guess measures of respect, eventually at the final pageant, I will take off my crown before I give the brand new one to the new winner. And it's really sweet. That's a really cool question that you ask, because a lot of people don't know like the intricacies of it. So basically what will happen is they'll do the whole, you know, they'll have the top six or top five, they'll do the whole one by one, gets off, and then there'll be the last two, and they'll be sitting there holding hands, and I'll be in the center behind them waiting for the announcement. And then they'll call the first runner up off, and then the winner will be crowned. I go and put the crown on her head, and I put the sash on her. I'll give her a hug, and then I'll step to the side. And then all of a sudden it's her, moment. It's her photo, it's her video. She takes her first walk as the new Miss Virginia USA. And yeah, that moment was really special for me last year, because the former title holder for 2022, her name is Kaylee. She was so sweet to me. She was very helpful throughout the process. Whenever I had any questions, any of us contestants could reach out to her with questions. And then when I won, I looked at her. A lot of the photos of my crowning are of my back. Whether they're like this, when I had my first reaction was this, because that I was just so shocked. Everyone has these super cute reaction photos of them being like quirky and cute. And mine was like, incorrectly. And then second of all, like, I'm like, my back is fully turned to Kaylee, and I'm just looking at her like, it was so funny. But I'm like crying at her. But yeah, that's what it looks like. And I'm excited, because this year they've instilled a new sash. So my class is the very last class to have the style of sash that we do. Which I think is a really cool kind of like, I don't know. It's like the end of an era, I guess you can say, the end of the gray sash era. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So does this become like your full-time job, or do you have another like 9-to-5 that you work?
So I used to work at an office here in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Shortly after I won the title, the workload of the office and the Miss Virginia duties kind of just became a little too much, and it overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up leaving. And then I kind of used that energy drink company that I was telling you about that I travel with as my my main thing to do on the side of this. Thankfully, there's a very flexible schedule with that brand. I travel the country with them, and I typically do it on the weekend. So I've been able to kind of put into my schedule with Miss Virginia pretty seamlessly, which I'm very grateful about, because I couldn't have a standard, work schedule and whatnot. So, yeah.
Okay. I've learned so much. This has been so great. I've learned so much. And I'm really so excited for everything that you're going to continue to do once you, crown the the new winner. Have you thought about, or have you been intentional about what you want your legacy to be with the pageant and then the things that you intend to do afterwards?
That's a super good question. I feel like I've already set up a kind of legacy being the first Caribbean American, and like I said, like coming out with my natural hair and being the first Miss Virginia to wear braids. And I feel like I've already set a legacy up, and I've been very particular about the engagements and events and everything I'm participating in leading up to my my farewell, because I want to make sure that I'm set up just as well to continue to grow my personal brand outside of being Miss Virginia, because somebody else is going to be her soon. So I'm definitely trying to set myself up in a way that I can be, my personal brand is just really important to me too, I would say.
Yeah, we're going to see you on TV with a mic or something, correspondent, doing some work in journalism and everything.
I know, that's right. Yes. Speak it out to existence. I'm excited for the opportunities that are going to come my way.
Is there anything coming up next for you that you can share?
I'm going to Miami in May for Miami Swim Week, which has been something, that's been something really fun to plan as a model and to get involved in. It's a really great way to put yourself out there and get in front of agencies and further and extend your model career. So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then I'm hoping to have a really fun summer. I want to take a birthday trip. My birthday's at the end of May. And nice. Yeah.
Gemini.
What about you?
I'm an Aquarius.
When's your birthday?
February 4th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yep. Okay. Well, before I let you go, Ashley, I have to ask you the Friends in Beauty rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So whatever comes to your mind first, just spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine too.
Okay.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Google Calendar, my mom, and dad.
I love it.
Yeah, both of them.
I love it. How do you measure your success?
Setting goals for myself and hitting them. Mm-hmm. Super minor, but I feel like, I don't know, success is just, it's in the small things. That's my opinion.
I agree. What's the best advice you've ever received, or just a piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely. Every single time.
Every single time.
What advice would you give to another young lady who is, you know, maybe has competed in the pageant world several times and it's just not panning out for them the way that they want and they're ready to give up?
Persistency is everything. And remember that every time that you compete, you're just becoming a better and better and better version of yourself. So if you see it truly being a goal of yours in the end to be successful, wait it out, because it'll be so worth it in the end.
Yeah, for sure. What's a resource that helps you in what you do that you can share with the Friends in Beauty community?
This is one of the occasions where social media is like a fantastic resource. I would say social media. I think I follow a lot of people who have a similar role like me, and I like to be inspired and just look at them and their lifestyle and say like, okay, well, she did this today and I like the way that looked for her. So how can I, you know, be inspired by that and put it into my own lifestyle?
Yeah, I like that for sure. The last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is blank. Like whatever you think it is.
Okay. My name is Ashley Williams, and the key to longevity and success is setting small goals for yourself and completing them.
Yes. Me and my best friend call them mini wins.
Mini wins, and they add up to huge wins. Absolutely. Mini wins. Don't overwhelm yourself. Start off slow. Mini wins. I like that. That's so cute.
Yay. Well, before you go, please share your social media information, however you want people to stay connected with you and continue to follow you on your journey.
Yes. So you can stay tuned on my Instagram, which is Ashwill, A-S-H-W-I, and then 5 L's.
She will get it done. She
will get it done. Ash will do it.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you, Aquia. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.